The following is a class on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, Text number 27, given by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami, recorded on 11th July of 1983 in Montreal, Canada.
Gopi jana bala bhavala dhari Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
Thus situated in the renounced order from the beginning of their lives, all three of them completely controlled the activities of their senses and thus became great saints. They concentrated their minds always upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the resting place of the totality of living entities, and who is therefore celebrated as Vasudeva. Lord Vasudeva is the only shelter of those who are actually afraid of material existence. By constantly thinking of his lotus feet, these three sons of Maharaj, Priyavrata, became advanced in pure devotional service. By the prowess of the devotional service, they could directly perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart as the Super Soul, and realized that there was qualitatively no difference between themselves and Him. Third put by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Paramahansa stage is the topmost position in renounced life. In sannyas, the renounced order, there are four stages: Kurichak, Bhaudak, Parivrajakacharya, and Paramahansa. According to the Vedic system, when one accepts the renounced order, he stays outside his village in a cottage, and his necessities, especially his food, are supplied from home. This is called the Kurichak stage. When a sannyasi advances further, he no longer accepts anything from home. Instead, he collects his necessities, especially his food, from many places. This system is called Madhukari, which literally means the profession of the bumblebees. As bumblebees collect honey from many flowers, a little from each, so sannyasi should beg from door to door, but not accept very much food from any particular house. He should collect a little bit from every house. This is called the Bhaudak stage. When a sannyasi is still more experienced, he travels all over the world to preach the glories of Lord Vasudeva. He is then known as Parivrajakacharya. The sannyasi reaches the Paramahansa stage when he finishes his preaching work and sits down in one place strictly for the sake of advancing in spiritual life. An actual Paramahansa is one who completely controls his senses and engages in the unalloyed service of the Lord. Therefore, all three of the sons of Priyavrata, namely Kavi, Mahavirya, and Savana, were situated in the Paramahansa stage from the very beginning. Their senses could not disturb them, for their senses were completely engaged in serving the Lord. Therefore, the three brothers are described in this verse as Upashama Shita. Upashama means completely subdued. Because they completely subdued their senses, they are understood to have been great sages and saints. After subduing their senses, the three brothers concentrated their minds upon the lotus feet of Vasudeva, Lord Krishna. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Vasudeva Sarvamithi, The lotus feet of Vasudeva are everything. Lord Vasudeva is the reservoir of all living entities. When this cosmic manifestation is dissolved, all living entities enter the supreme body of the Lord, Garbhadaksha Vishnu, who merges within the body of Mahavishnu. Both of these Vishnu Tattvas and Vasudeva Tattvas are therefore the great sages, Kavi, Mahavitra and Shavana, concentrated always upon the lotus feet of Lord Vasudeva Krishna. In this way they could understand that the super soul within the heart is the supreme personality of Godhead, and they could recognize their identity with him. The complete description of this realization is that simply by discharging the unalloyed form of devotional service, one can realize his self completely. The Parma Bhakti Yoga mentioned in this verse means that a living entity, by dint of unalloyed devotional service, has no other interest than the service of the Lord, as described in Bhagavad Gita. By Parma Bhakti Yoga, by elevating oneself to the highest platform of loving service, one can automatically be relieved from the bodily concept of life and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadaiva Hideshu Vilokayanti. An advanced devotee who is known as a Sat or Saint can always see within his heart the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Krishna Shyam Sundar expands himself by his plenary portion, and thus the devotee can always see him within his heart. Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttapada Kamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavanashta Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitamtam Sajevam Sadvetam Subudhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakana Vitamsha Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshun Militanina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam. So, this chapter is called The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrata. Maharaj Priyavrata was a very elevated devotee of the Lord. In fact, in the 11th canto, Lord Krishna, when he instructs Uddhava about the process of devotional service, he cites Maharaj Priyavrata as an example of one who perfected his life by the process of devotional service. And in this section of the Bhagavatam, in these verses, reference is being made to the sons of Maharaj Priyavrata. Maharaj Priyavrata had 10 children, 10 sons and one daughter. And three of his sons were called Kavi, Mahavirya and Shavana. And these three sons had, from their very birth, they had decided that they have to be very strict for spiritual life. And in the verse prior to this one, it is described how these three decided to follow the principles of celibacy. And in the purport, it is also pointed out how important it is for a transcendentalist to control his sex desire or to control the semen. Ayurvedic science has established, and this was confirmed to me by an Ayurvedic doctor recently, that the discharge of semen definitely results in loss of memory, in the memory being weakened. And we can see that the materialistic society today, the memory is so weak. Why do you think everybody is relying so heavily on computers? Why do you think one is relying so heavily on calculators? There was a time when the most complicated mathematical solutions would be done by hand. But today everything is on the calculator. Everything is on the computer. Why? Because people's memory is going down very sharply. Because the memory is going down, they can't think any more clearly. Now, they are developing what is called the latest generation of computers, and this new generation of computers is going to work 1,000 times faster than the present computers are running. And the next generation of computers is also going to do all the thinking. In other words, the human being gradually is going to become a robot. Actually, in some countries like Japan, they have created robots to run machines. But the technological advancement is proceeding in a direction in which the robots will do the thinking and the human being will become a robot. Why is this happening? Because of such great emphasis upon sex life. And this sex life is causing so many diseases that are unimaginable in society. Yesterday, I read in the Miami Times, in the front page, there was a major article about a new disease which has come up in America called AIDS, A-I-D-S. Actually, this is an abbreviation for a very serious disease. And this new disease is 1,000 times more dangerous than cancer. 1,000 times. And 90% of the people who are catching this disease are dying. There is no cure at all. And now the American government is pumping billions of dollars into finding a cure to this. And what is causing this AIDS? There was a long article and it said, and the main cause of this is excessive indulgence in sex life. Homosexuals and bisexuals, both, it said that. Both, because excessive indulgence in this area is resulting in the serious disease. So they want to counteract the serious disease by spending billions of dollars to find their solution. But the real solution is following the principles of the religious principles. If they only followed the religious principles, then there would be no need for spending billions of dollars in defining a cure to this disease. So the reality is that unless one follows the principles of religion, one cannot be happy. There may be some happiness, but as we've discussed, it results in a corresponding disaster. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti analyzes the position of the devotee. In this verse, reference is being made to the process of devotional service, which was taken and followed by the sons of Maharaj Priyavrata. The sons of Maharaj Priyavrata, they concentrated their minds upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So this is the mission of the devotee, to concentrate his mind upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, Sarve Mana Krishna Padarvinda. And by concentrating the mind on the lotus feet of the Lord, Vishwanath Chakravarti says, one feels like a wealthy man. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur analyzes the devotee and a wealthy man. He says that a wealthy man, doesn't matter wherever he goes, he has the same luxurious standard of living. A wealthy man, whether he goes to India or Africa or America, he's always living in the best hotel. It is not that the wealthy man, when he goes to a poor country, he begins to live like a poor man. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that just like a wealthy man, doesn't matter wherever he goes, he has the same luxurious standard of living. Similarly, a devotee, doesn't matter where he is, the devotee is always happy. Why? Because he's always engaged in meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord. As long as one is engaged in meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord, one is completely protected. In the Bhagavatam, there's the analogy how the birds, when the bird is young, the parents nurse the bird. Then as soon as the bird is strong and the wings are strong, the bird flies out of the nest. Similarly, the human being, the devotee, he takes shelter of the process of devotional service. He takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And at the termination of this life, he just flies back to the abode of the Lord. So these sons of Maharaj Priyavrata, they have concentrated their minds upon the lotus feet of the Lord. So the next question is, why should one concentrate his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord? So the answer is given in the next line. Because he is the resting place of the totality of all living entities. There is a reason why the scriptures recommend meditation upon the Supreme Lord and not upon any material object. The reason is, the Lord is the source of everything. And since the Lord is the source of everything, since the Lord is the creator, the devotee has the firm understanding that unless he concentrates in meditation upon the Lord, he cannot be happy. So the devotees are really wealthy because they derive pleasure in meditation upon the Supreme Lord. In the same fifth canto, later on, chapter 12, there's the story of Maharaj of Jadabharata. The story of Jadabharata is very important for those who want to have faith in meditation upon the Supreme Lord. Because Jadabharata was Bharat Maharaj. This whole planet is named after Bharat Maharaj. And he had developed an attachment to a deer. So when he took his birth as a deer, because he was meditating on the deer, he was chasing a deer. When he died, he took his birth as a deer. But because he had rendered devotional service earlier, the Lord had pardoned him and he took his birth as a Brahmin boy, as Jadabharata. So when he took his birth as a Brahmin, he took his birth in the family of a Brahmin. But he had decided that now he's going to be very serious about spiritual life. So he was just pretending to be like a dumb and deaf man. He was just, you know, always alone, always remembering Krishna. His father wanted to train him up in the Brahminical rituals, but the Jadabharata was behaving like a dumb and deaf man, so that his father gave up on him. And after his parents died, the step brothers and god sisters did not take care of him properly, and he was eventually kidnapped by some dacoits. And the dacoits were getting ready to offer him to goddess Kali as a sacrifice. And when they were ready to kill him, this is done by the less intelligent people, they even offer human beings. In fact, this is even still done in the papers in India. Every few days you read about some child or somebody who was offered to goddess Kali. So, and Maharaj Bharat was completely saved. Because even when the dacoits were getting ready to offer him to goddess Kali, he did not protest. He was just fixed in his meditation. And similarly, Amrish Maharaj, when Durvasa Muni was trying to harm him, Amrish Maharaj remained fixed in his meditation. Haridas Thakur, when Maya Devi was trying to tempt him, Haridas Thakur remained fixed in his meditation on the holy name. And because they were fixed in their meditation, they were victorious. So the point is that the devotee, he does not want to be defeated by sense gratification. The devotee remains determined that he is not going to be defeated by sense gratification. And the process of being victorious over the process of sense gratification is the process that is being prescribed and practiced by the sons of Maharaj Priyavrata. The sons of Maharaj Priyavrata are exhibiting over here the process by which one can be victorious over the process of sense gratification. So, the devotee recognizes that he cannot be defeated by sense gratification. He has to be victorious over the process of sense gratification. Those who are after sense pleasure, they are compared to the lusty goats. A lusty goat is so ignorant that if a lusty goat has the opportunity for sex indulgence, even a minute before she is about to be slaughtered, the goat will take part in it. This is confirmed in the 10th canto, that a lusty goat, even if it has the opportunity to engage in sex life, a minute before it is going to go inside the slaughterhouse, it will take part in it. So similarly, the materialists, they are just mad after sense gratification, and they are just haunted like a ghost. The materialists, they are haunted by the ghost for sense gratification. So the devotee, he is haunted by the desire to serve Krishna all the time. So we should be determined in executing the process of devotional service, because unless the determination is not there, one will not be able to show the brilliance of spiritual activity. Just like gold also has many metals along with it, but for the other metals to be burnt and the brilliance of the gold to manifest, you have to burn the gold. Similarly, we have to burn our material desires for the spiritual effulgence to manifest itself. Material life material desires will never be fulfilled. Rupa Goswami has confirmed this. Kama dinam katina palita durni desa tesam jatamai nadna trepano pashanti. That sense gratification will never satisfy the living entity. Therefore, the devotee recognizes, by adding butter to the fire, you cannot put the fire off. If you want to put the fire off, you don't add butter in the fire. If you add butter in the fire, the flames will just go on increasing. So similarly, by engaging in sense gratification, by trying to fulfill our material desires, the desire for sense gratification will not go away. Rather, it will just go on increasing and increasing and increasing. Therefore, the intelligent transcendentalist, he takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. He takes shelter of the process of devotional service. And he takes shelter of the process of devotional service by meditating on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So by constantly thinking of the lotus feet, these three sons of Maharaj Priyavrata became advanced in pure devotional service. And by the process of the devotional service, they could directly perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is in everyone's heart. So this is another important point. He is in everyone's heart. And we have to constantly keep remembering that He is in everyone's heart. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hirdesha rajuna tishtati. That the Lord is in everyone's heart. And the direction, the guidance that one gets is in proportion to the sincere desires that we may manifest. The Lord is in the heart and He is aware of all the desires of the living entity. So, when a devotee desires spiritual advancement, when a devotee desires to give up the process of sense gratification, when a devotee desires to advance on the process of devotional service, then Krishna gives one the necessary intelligence. Then Krishna gives one the necessary direction. So, taking to the process of devotional service is a very rare privilege. This is confirmed by Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami has confirmed that the opportunity to execute devotional service is actually a very, very rare privilege. So when this process of devotional service is being cultivated, one should be very serious. Because if we don't cultivate the process of devotional service seriously, then everything is a waste of time. Dharma Swanustita Pum Sam Vishwasina Katasu Yaha Natpadayat Yati Ratim Shrama Evahi Kevalam. The Bhagavatam very clearly establishes Shrama Evahi Kevalam. Such an activity is simply a waste of time. Therefore the Bhagavatam describes what is the supreme occupation. Sarva Pum Sam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Adhokshade Aitukya Pratiyata Yatma Suprasidati. The supreme occupation is that by which one can render devotional service unto the Lord, and such devotional service must be characterized by two points: unmotivated and uninterrupted. That is the supreme occupation. In the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva clearly establishes the supreme occupation is that devotional service which is unmotivated and uninterrupted. If devotional service is without motivation, if it is without any interruption, without any break, then this devotional service will result in genuine renunciation. Otherwise, we will not be able to defeat sense gratification. Privriti marg, nivritti marg. The path of sense gratification and the path of sense enjoyment. So if you want to be victorious in the battle against sense gratification, if you want to defeat the evil influences that are trying to tempt you, then we have to render devotional service without any motivation and without any interruption. We cannot have interruptions in devotional service. What does it mean to have interruptions in a practical manner? Having interruptions means that not rendering devotional service all the time. In all the scriptures, it is confirmed devotional service should be rendered all the time. So if we want to render the highest occupation, then one has to render devotional service all the time. And then, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha. Then one will be able to develop renunciation and detachment. Very often we see that someone has come to Krishna conscious movement, someone stays in this movement for years and years, but still he's not developing detachment. Why? So here is the reason why. Because devotional service is not being rendered constantly. Because devotional service is not being rendered without motivation. Rendering devotional service without motivation means that one is going to go on with the process of devotional service regardless of the position that one is in, regardless of what happens. This is very nicely explained by the Supreme Lord to Uddhava. In the 11th canto, Lord Krishna explains to Uddhava how important it is to render devotional service without any desire or motivation at all. Because unless we get to the platform of rendering devotional service without any motivation and without interruption, material sense gratification will go on gaining victories. Just like sometimes you have a long battle, and in the battle, sometimes the enemy is winning and sometimes the other side is winning. So this will go on happening as long as you don't execute devotional service without motivation and interruption. But if devotional service is being rendered without motivation and without any interruption, then there will only be victory over the process of sense gratification. Of course, when we are fighting this battle, the enemy's bullets will be there. But the Bhagavatam explains that one should, just like a soldier, a courageous soldier. There are two types of soldiers in the battleground. One soldier is, when he sees the enemy's bullets, he just runs away. The other soldier is that the bullets may hit him, but still, because he is courageous and determined, he goes on fighting, and in the end he emerges victorious. So similarly, the devotee who has firm faith in the process of devotional service, he is being attacked by various bullets. But because he is convinced about the process of devotional service, because he is convinced about the position of the Supreme Lord, because he is convinced about the glory of devotional service, in spite of the bullets attacking him, he goes on with his service. And because he goes on with his service, such a devotee, Lord Krishna explains to Uddhava, emerges victorious in the end. So we have to emerge victorious in the end. And we can only emerge victorious in the end if devotional service is rendered without any motivation and without any interruption. So the devotee is not looking for anything, but just the opportunity to serve. Because this opportunity to serve is being relished by a devotee. Just like a hungry man. A hungry man, as he gets some food, if a man is hungry, even if the food is a little burnt, he tastes that food. So we have to give up our hunger for material life. We have to give up our hunger for sense gratification. And how can we give it up? Just like a hungry man. A hungry man is given some food. So with each piece of food that he puts in his mouth, what happens? Two things happen. With each piece of food that a hungry man puts in his mouth, the nourishment increases, and as the nourishment increases, the hunger goes down, isn't it? As you put food in your mouth, the nourishment increases and the hunger goes down. So similarly, as we engage in devotional service, as we increase our devotional service, the nourishment goes up and the material hunger goes down. So the whole process of devotional service is to reduce your material hunger, to eliminate this material hunger. And this material hunger can be eliminated if we take to the process of devotional service with faith. So then that is the proper utilization of religion. Just like the Bhagavatam says, dharmasya hi apavargasya narto ratayo pa kalpate. That religion should not be utilized for material sense gratification. Rather, religion should be utilized for realizing freedom from the cycle of birth and death. That is the real meaning of religion. People often take to religion in order to realize some sense gratification, but that is not the real meaning. Those who utilize religion for sense gratification, they are foolish. It's just like the bumblebee. The bumblebee goes inside the honeycomb. The bumblebee tastes one drop of honey. But as it is tasting one drop of honey, the other bees, they're all coming and attacking that bumblebee. So on the one hand, there's honey for 1 second, and on the other hand, the bubble bee is being attacked by so many other bees. So that is exactly what material life is. A little bit of pleasure, just like we were talking about this new disease, AIDS, which is hitting the homosexuals and bisexuals, those who are addicted to illicit sex life. Now, for a minute, they have little pleasure. But that little pleasure is being followed up by they are dying in the hospitals. So what is the advantage? So anyone who analyzes any type of sense gratification, you will see that the corresponding result is disastrous. And because the corresponding result is disastrous, the spiritualist understands that there's no point in taking to sense gratification at any level at all. So the devotee, he completely avoids sense gratification. He avoids sense gratification mentally. He avoids sense gratification physically. Because if one is mentally thinking of sense gratification, then one will also physically engage in sense gratification. Just like the Bhagavatam says, when a man dresses himself up nicely and he looks in the mirror, then when he does makeup, that makeup is also reflected in the mirror. If a man does a lot of makeup and he looks in the mirror, he will also look handsome. So similarly, by engaging in the process of devotional service, one feels satisfaction. By serving the lotus feet of the Lord, one obtains real satisfaction. And because of that satisfaction, the material hunger is corrected. So the whole process of devotional service is to check the material hunger. And the material hunger can be checked by taking to the process of devotional service in the same mood that the sons of Maharaj Priyavrata are exhibiting. The sons of Maharaj Priyavrata are completely absorbed in this process of meditation upon the lotus feet of the Lord. So we cannot even think about sense gratification, because whatever we think later on, that is what the living entity does. So we have to burn all material desires completely to ashes. Just like when you have some garbage, you burn it completely. So we have to burn all these material desires to ashes. And that is only possible if we take shelter of the process of devotional service with complete faith. If we do not take shelter of the process of devotional service with complete faith, if we play around with the process of devotional service, then that is compared to playing with fire. And as they say, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. So the devotee, he wants to take complete precautions. He doesn't want to play around with the spiritual life, because he knows playing around with spiritual life can be very risky. Therefore, the great sages have concluded one should always be absorbed in the process of devotional service. This process must be executed without any interruption and without any motivation. These two words, Ahituk Yapratiyata, are very significant for anyone who wants to succeed on this path of devotional service. Because if you don't understand the meaning of these two words, doesn't matter how much you may read the scriptures, the whole purpose of spiritual life can be defeated. Because devotional service means having complete faith in Krishna. And when you have complete faith in Krishna, then you're willing to face obstacles or any other facilities or any other situation with the same smiling face. The devotee is always confident that Krishna will protect him. And having faith in the Supreme Lord, he enters into the battleground. Just like Arjuna, he had faith that he would win the battle of Kurukshetra because Krishna was on his side, even though the other side had numerically outnumbered them. So we have to have faith. There will be so many attacks, just like we were discussing yesterday. The Krishna conscious movement is coming under heavy attacks from the so-called religious groups who have no concept of religion. We are being attacked by the atheists. We are being attacked by so many other people just because we are speaking the truth. If we were not speaking the truth, nobody would bother to attack us. If we were going ahead with the nonsense philosophies of the materialists and the so-called religious group, there would be no problems at all. But because we are exposing the bogus religious preachers, because we are exposing the corrupt society, the corrupt society is trying to protest. But just like the flies always get burnt by the flames of the fire. So just like the flies always get burnt by the flames or the fire, all these flies will actually get burnt. But we just have to go on and execute the process of devotional service with faith. So just because there is some disturbance, just because one is being told to do something that is in contradiction to his chain of thought, doesn't mean one avoids devotional service. Human life is so rare and so risky. Don't take human life for granted. Just because we have begun the process of devotional service doesn't mean you're going to live till the end. Thakur Bhaktivinoda said, a devotee is pessimistic and the materialistic is optimistic. The materialist is optimistic in the sense he never thinks that death is going to come, but the devotee thinks that death may come at any moment. And because the devotee thinks that death may come at any moment, he's always alert to not committing any spiritual mistakes. If you read the Bhagavatam, you will see all these great sages, they were so careful in the execution of devotional service that even when it was a question of life and death, they did not deviate from meditation upon the Supreme Lord. We just gave the example of Maharaj Jadabharata, how even when the dacoits were getting ready to offer him to the goddess Kali, he still did not deviate from his meditation upon the Supreme Lord. So do not take this philosophy lightly. Do not have your vision clouded. Do not let material desires stay in the body, because these material desires will completely ruin you. We have to take to the process of devotional service exactly in the mood of the sons of Maharaj Priyavrata. And if we take to the process of devotional service exactly in the mood of the sons of Maharaj Priyavrata, then we will be able to execute pure devotional service. We must be determined that sense gratification will not be victorious in this battle. Of course, there's a battle going on. There's a battle going on between the devotees and the non-devotees. There's a battle going on between the devotees and the process of sense gratification. But the devotee is determined that he's going to be victorious in this battle against sense gratification. And if you want to be victorious in this battle against sense gratification, then there are only two qualifications that you need to have. One is render devotional service without motivation. Second is render devotional service full time. Don't take a break. Sometimes devotees have an understanding, I've done so much devotional service for so many years, now I can take a break. Even if you've done devotional service your whole life, you cannot take a break. Haridas Thakur had chanted the holy names of the Lord 300,000 times per day. And when in old age, when he was sick, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him personally, now Haridas, you can take rest because you've been chanting all your life. And Haridas refused to take rest. So we cannot take a break. Why did Haridas refuse? Because he said, the moment I take a break, I will fall into Maya. So we cannot take a break of a second. The devotee recognizes that Krishna is the controller, and therefore he always wants to be in the fire. Just like when the sparks are in the fire, the sparks are illuminating, but when the same sparks fall on the earth, the sparks lose their beauty. So similarly, as long as one is engaged in devotional service, he looks beautiful and is illuminating the brilliance. But when we deviate, when we take interruptions, then we're just like the sparks that have fallen on the ground. So if we engage in this process of devotional service without any interruption and motivation, without rendering service to Krishna without motivation means that one considers himself to be a real slave. Prabhupada gives an analogy in the Bhagavatam of being a sold-out animal. A sold-out animal has no freedom at all. So the devotee should understand that except for rendering devotional service, he has no other business. And as Rupa Goswami said, one should accept everything favorable for execution of devotional service and reject everything unfavorable for execution of devotional service. The Bhagavatam has a solution to everything. For example, there is a story of Maharaj Prithu. How when Maharaj Prithu came to the throne, there was total unemployment. Just like these days, there's so much unemployment in society. And this unemployment is causing so many other problems. For example, it has been found that 1% of unemployment results, when the unemployment goes up by 1%, the crime rate goes up by 5%. And the number of people entering mental asylums goes up by 6%. So why is all this happening? because there's no God consciousness. So we were talking about the Maharaj Prithu. When King Vena was the ruler, there was unemployment was even greater than today. Today the unemployment is only 9%. But when King Vena was ruling, because King Vena was completely godless, the unemployment was very high. And when King Prithu was installed on the throne, the Brahmins went to King Prithu and said, please remove this problem of unemployment. And Maharaj Prithu removed the power of the problem of unemployment by making the whole population God conscious. So the point is that the devotee recognizes that all problems are there due to forgetfulness of our relationship with God. And when one is engaged in meditating on Krishna, as the sons of Maharaj Priyavrata are engaged in this verse, then one is always like a rich man. A rich man wherever he goes, he's always living in a luxurious standard, as Vishwanath Chakravarti explained. So similarly, a devotee, he may get what he wants, he may not get what he wants. He may get honor, he may get dishonor. But because he's fixed in his meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord, he's always happy. And because he's always happy spiritually, he can defeat sense gratification. But if you're not happy spiritually, then he cannot defeat sense gratification. So if you want to be victorious in this battle against sense gratification, if you want to defeat sense gratification, if you want to burn material desires to ashes, if you want to give up being haunted by material desires, then be always fixed in meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord. This is the only means. It may appear to be difficult, but it is not impossible. To be engaged in devotional service all the time is much more easy than not being engaged in devotional service all the time. To take shelter of Krishna 24 hours is much easier than defying Krishna's instructions. And one who respects Krishna's instructions also respects the instructions of Krishna's representative. That is the proper understanding of the philosophy. So Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, and as Prabhupada is explaining in this purport, that the devotee, he has full faith that by meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord, he will be satisfied. Hence he takes to the process of devotional service with determination and firm faith about the success that will be there. And then at the termination of this body, he just flies out of this nest, of this material nest, back to the abode of the Lord. Hare Krishna.